Good morning. This morning starts our first day of our gospel meeting with Brother Edwin Crozier from Tampa, Florida. I met Edwin 3 years ago, and upon hearing him speak, I knew he would be a great encouragement to us, and so I made the invite. I've been excited for you to meet him and for him to meet you. For those that were here in April of 2019, Edwin is part of a two-man preaching team at the North Livingston congregation in Tampa. And in April of 2019, if you were here, you would have met Andrew Roberts, a good friend of mine and the second man of that team. And he describes himself as the sweet tea. Today you get to meet Edwin, who is the lemonade. And Edwin.
It is better to be lemonade than unsweet tea, though, right? Everybody agree with me on that one?
Yes.
Thank you. When Jesus came into the world and taught, he said some very simple things. In fact, his message was a message of very simple good news. We find in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, the good news is described there. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the good news. No doubt this very simple idea would be unpacked and explained, and it would be applied in various and sundry ways that would take us a little bit more time to talk about. And I get it, for some can be confusing. But in the end, it's really quite simple. He says what you need to do is understand that the king is here. He is going to establish his kingdom, and our job is to change. Our job is to quit being what we've been, quit doing what we've done, start doing what he wants. Repent and believe that his kingdom is good news. It's just that simple. And as he went around teaching and as he went around proclaiming, some of his instruction would get repeated again and again and again, and very often his instruction was just simply to words. Follow me. Follow me. We find this repeatedly in the Gospels. Here in Mark chapter 1 and verse 17, Jesus says to Peter and Andrew, James and John, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 14, he finds Levi at the tax booth, also known as Matthew in some of the other Gospels, and he says to him, follow me. In John chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 27, he is talking about the sheep, and he says about his sheep, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. But I really like the way this is described in John chapter 12 and verse 26. In John chapter 12 and verse 26, Jesus, as he speaks to those who are listening, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there he will be also. There will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Here he explains this idea of follow me. Again, simple words, and they will be unpacked and they will be applied in various and sundry ways throughout the Gospels and throughout the entirety of the New Testament. But here Jesus explains what just very simply follow me means. Follow me means where I go, that's where you go. Where I am, that's where you will be. Those who follow him don't go where he doesn't go. Those who follow him don't get out in the lead and try to decide the direction. He says, follow me because my servant goes where I go. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Different people responded in different ways to this call. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Levi, they put aside their lives, their livelihood, and they literally followed Jesus. They literally walked where he walked, and they walked the roads with him, and they listened to him talk, and they slept where he slept, though he had no place to lay his head. They ate where he ate, even if they didn't always have bread with them. But then, of course, there's that fellow we call the rich young ruler who is also told, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. He didn't follow in the footsteps of Jesus or these apostles. Instead, he went away sad. So not everybody heard this instruction and pursued it. But those who did, those who heard Jesus say, follow me, and they began to walk around with him and listen to him and imitate him. Do you know what the Bible calls them? Bible calls them disciples. Disciples. And we recognize from the scripture that disciples are what Jesus is looking for. In fact, these men followed him, they went with him, they listened to him, they repeated what he said, they went where he told them. And then before he left, he gave them a great commission. We find this commission in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. What did he say that he wanted these fellows to make? He said, I want you to go out there and I want you to make disciples. I want you to go everywhere you can, and everywhere you go, I want you to make followers. I want you to make people who will go where I go, who will do what I do, who will say what I say, who will imitate and follow. And no doubt, as they taught that next group of people to observe all that Jesus had commanded them, most certainly they were also going to follow and teach this command. And so the apostles and those early disciples went out and they made disciples, and they made disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to do what Jesus said. And as they trained those folks, they trained them to go out and follow this. And so when they went out and taught other people, they trained them to follow this commission. When they went out and trained other people, they trained them to follow this commission. And when they went out and trained other people, they trained them to follow this commission. And then they came and they taught us. And what we need to be trained to do is to follow this commission, to be and to make disciples, to be those who follow Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about this week. I am a disciple. What does that mean? What does that look like? There's no doubt that we could start at the beginning of Matthew and read all the way to the end of Revelation, and we would have a full and complete picture of discipleship. But it is Mother's Day, and I know y'all want to be done before lunch. So we're not going to do that. And I'm just going to say, I am completely aware it is Mother's Day. When I was talking to Nathan about when we were going to schedule this, I was not aware. All right, super sorry about that. Trust me, there is no amount of punishment that you can offer that is more than what I received at home when I let my family know what was happening this week. So if we can just kind of get that out of the way and move on, super sorry. But I thought I would say this, mothers. Here's the best way you can be mothers. Be a disciple. And fathers, the best way you can treat your wives and mothers is learn to be a disciple. So see, it's a Mother's Day lesson anyway, right? Are we good on that? Can we pretend at least that there's a method to this madness as opposed to just making a big mistake? But we're talking about being disciples this week. And what I wanted to do, since I knew that we could, again, begin in Matthew, go to the end of Revelation, but that's going to take too long, that's so much, that's hard to keep in our minds, there's no way we're going to remember all that. So what I have for you is what I'm going to call a handle. I like this illustration. I didn't come up with it on my own, but here's the idea. So yesterday, it came time to come here from Florida, and I was not going to drive. So of course, you know that what I did is I went into my closet, and I piled up all my clothes in a big old pile, and I carried them. taken through the airport in my arms, and when I got on the airplane, I shoved that big old pile of clothes up in the overhead bin. Y'all are aware I didn't do that, right? Of course not. What did I do? I put it in a suitcase because I could zip it up, and it's going to have a handle that I can hold on to. Something that makes it just a little bit easier for me to carry around, to keep with me. Now, of course, when I get where I'm going, I've got to unpack that. And there's plenty of times that what we're going to talk about needs to be unpacked and explained and expanded. But what I'm going to share with you over the next couple days is kind of the handle. And so we even have this wonderful graphic that a friend of mine, Brian Harper, helped me with to put together to talk about. Just kind of a picture. Something that we can have in our minds. This is what a disciple is. If I am going to be a disciple, and if I'm going to make disciples, what does that look like? I tell the folks back home that I know that we have preached this enough when you start dreaming about this circle. I want this to be in our minds. This is what a disciple is. A disciple is somebody who honors God, who learns from God, who loves like God, who leads others to God, all while abiding in God's word. This morning, as we kick things off, I want to just travel around this circle. I want to walk through these various things, giving us kind of an overview, and then the rest of the lessons, we're going to unpack the specific principles of discipleship a little bit more deeply. So right now here in this class period, let's just walk around this circle and learn a little bit more about being a disciple. The very first thing that we do need to understand, though, is where this came from. Because here's what I need to understand from Luke chapter 6, verses 39 and 40. In Luke chapter 6, verses 39 and 40, we recognize he told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Jesus here is not actually stating the goal. We often jump to verse 40 and kind of miss the context. And we're actually going to do that a lot this week because we are going to home in on what verse 40 says because there's a principle there. But before we do that, I do want to make sure we get the context. Because when Jesus first said this, he wasn't actually stating a goal. He was just stating a fact. This is the way it is. And in the context, he is beginning by saying, look, if you follow blind teachers, do you know what you're going to become? You're going to become blind. Why? Because the one who is taught will become like the one who did the teaching. So if you follow the blind, you will become blind, and both you and the teacher will fall into the pit. Now, the reason that happens is because of this principle. The one who is trained will become like the one who does the training. The disciple will become like the teacher. It's that principle that I want us to focus on. Because what if instead of following the blind, I follow a good teacher? What if, in fact, instead of following the blind, I follow the master teacher? The principle also applies there. I will become like my teacher. Everything that we're going to talk about here is about being like Jesus. If we wanted to break this down even more simply than this picture I'm giving, this is the thing. Be like Jesus. Follow Jesus. Go the places Jesus would go. Don't go the places Jesus wouldn't go. Say the things Jesus would say. Don't say the things Jesus wouldn't say. Act the way Jesus would act. Don't act the way Jesus doesn't act. Follow him. So with all of these principles, what I want to show you is first, that Jesus did it. And second, that he trained his disciples, us, to do these things. The second principle before we get into that circle, the circle itself, I want us to get to the middle of the circle. A disciple is centered around God. If we're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, everything in our life is centered around God himself. So, we come to a passage like Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, where somebody asks Jesus, what's the greatest commandment of the law? And Jesus says this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Look, this is the first and great commandment. The center, the heart, the foundation of everything else that is taught begins right here. It is encompassed by this. Everything about my life must be governed by, am I loving God when I do this? Is this love for God? Is this surrender to God with my heart, my soul, my mind, every fiber of my being? Or am I holding some part of myself back from God? Is there some part of me that I'm trying to say, God, you don't get this part. I mean, I'll give you the most of it, but I'm not going to give you all of it. If that's the case, then I'm not actually being a disciple of Jesus Christ. If I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, God the Son, then my life is completely and totally centered around God. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, as Jesus is teaching that seminal Sermon on the Mount, the constitution of the kingdom, if you will, the manifesto, the declaration, smack in the middle of it, he tells us this in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to one and he'll despise the other. Some time ago, I was reading, though I can't remember where. I wish I had recognized this on my own, but someone had to teach it to me. Jesus here is not giving a command. He is not saying, thou shalt not have two masters. Jesus is not giving advice. He doesn't say, you should not have two masters. He's not giving instruction. He does not say, don't have two masters. Please recognize Jesus is stating a fact. This is just the way it is. He says, you cannot have two masters. No matter what, we all have something, someone, that is the ultimate master. And sooner or later, if we're trying to walk with a foot in one camp and a foot in another camp, if we're trying to walk with one foot in heaven and one foot on earth, sooner or later they're going to come to blows and the true master will come out on top. You cannot have more than one master. And if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, what we must have is God as our master. Our lives must be centered around, based on, governed by God Himself. He is the one to whom we must be devoted. He is the one that we must love above all other things. And everything else we do in our life comes from that. Is an extension, an expansion, a working out of our love for God. A disciple is centered on God. Now, having recognized that, we walk through the scriptures and we recognize that the one who is becoming like Jesus, the one whose life is centered around God, the disciple honors God. A disciple honors God. I know this because Jesus did it. I know this is true because Jesus did it. In John chapter 12, Jesus is starting down that road, that final time when he is now, it's no more about going around and teaching and performing the miracles. It is now about walking towards Jerusalem. And he knows what's going to happen in Jerusalem. He knows that what's coming is the cross. And in John chapter 12, he starts to talk about the purpose for which he has come. And what is he going to do with it? And his soul being troubled. And in John chapter 12 and verse 28, what he says is this, Father, glorify your name. Jesus glorified the Father. And in John chapter 15 and verse 8, he turns to the crowds and he says of the disciples, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. By this, my Father is glorified. What's our goal as disciples? How do we prove ourselves disciples? By bearing fruit that glorifies God. So let's talk about the big elephant in the room right here on this slide. These passages say glorify. I chose the word honors. Now, there are some translations that use the word honors. You're probably asking, Edwin, why didn't you just go ahead and say glorifies? I'll tell you why. Show of hands, how many of you used the word glorify in a sentence this week outside of church? Anybody talk about? Here's the thing. In our culture, we don't use the word glorify except at church. In fact, when we do use it, it's not even all that good. Normally, when we use the word glorified, we'll say something like, "Ah, he's just a glorified," and whatever thing we don't actually think that much of, right? "She's just a glorified." So, I wanted to use a word that we all use. Honor. We honor people. We honor days. In fact, what are we doing today? I've been churches all over the world. You know what people are saying? Today we honor mothers. We know what it means to honor, right? And so I chose that word. But it's the same concept. To glorify, to magnify, to praise, to lift up, to proclaim the excellencies of, to humble self and exalt the one who is being honored, the one who is being glorified. And I hope what we recognize here is that Jesus himself, who God himself, who should have been bringing all the honor to himself, who had the right to get everyone around him to honor him, he honored the Father. He said that what I'm doing here is about glorifying your name. And he turns to the disciples and he says to all of us, your disciples, when you bear fruit that glorifies and honors God. You know why? Because that's what a disciple does. A disciple honors God. Because if I'm going to become like Jesus, I'm going to do what Jesus did. Jesus honored God. Jesus honors God. Disciples honor God. Not only do disciples honor God, but a disciple learns from God. A disciple learns from God. And in just that moment, I almost lost track of my sermon because I just realized I did not learn from Nathan and push this red button. I'm going to push it now, and I'm sorry that you're only getting half of it on the recording. Try to remember the rest of the time. A disciple learns from God. At heart, this is what a disciple is. At heart, a disciple is a learner. In fact, the word that we might think of is student. And yet, student doesn't quite grasp all that is involved in discipleship. Really, a word that we don't quite use as much anymore, except for just a few fields in our modern day. Probably the word that would be more accurate is apprentice. Or if you're really cool, a Padawan. If you don't know what Padawan means, I'm sorry, you're not cool. But we'll tell you about it later. But an apprentice, the person who follows the master electrician around. And the electrician says, here, this is how we make this work. This is how you wire this thing. Or the master carpenter, this is how we cut this and fit this together, and this is how we put this on the lathe, do it like this. The apprentice is the one who is following around, who is watching, who is listening, who goes and does what the one who is training is teaching. So really, disciple is more like apprentice than student. But a disciple is at heart a learner. In John chapter 8 and verse 28, in John chapter 8 and verse 28, we learn that Jesus said, I do nothing on my own authority, but I speak just as the Father has taught me. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, I admit what this literally means is beyond me. I do not understand how the relationship of Father, Son, and Spirit would work on a practical and pragmatic level. how the Son would learn from the Father when the Son is himself fully divine, I don't know. But what I do know is that Jesus tells us he was taught by the Father. And whatever that means, whether it is some type of metaphorical statement for him to show that he is like us or to provide us the example, or whether there's some very literal way in which Jesus learned from the Father, I don't know. But what Jesus tells us is, I do nothing on my own authority. I speak as the Father taught me to speak. And the mere fact that I can't quite understand it is part of what amazes me by it. That Jesus himself would say, the one in all of history who ought to be able to say, nobody taught me anything. I just know. I just speak because I want to. He says, I don't speak on my own authority. I speak as the Father has taught me. He learned from God. So it's not surprising then in John chapter 6 and verse 45, in John chapter 6 and verse 45, quoting from Isaiah, he says, this is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. They shall all be taught by God. Of course, this does not mean that in churches that belong to Jesus Christ, that God himself is going to stand in the lectern or on the stage or fill our classes or hold lectures for us. But what it does mean is that if I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, what I learn comes from God. It comes from God's Word. It comes through what he has revealed and taught. Not from what men have made up. Not from what I have decided. Not from what I feel deep down inside. But what has come and been revealed by God. Because a disciple learns from God. A disciple honors God. A disciple learns from God. But thirdly, a disciple loves like God. A disciple loves as God loves. Jesus, speaking about himself in John chapter 15 and verse 9. In John chapter 15 and verse 9 says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Jesus had a standard for love. The Father. God was the standard for his love. He says, I loved you the way God loved. And so it should not surprise us back in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, where he says, love one another. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. How are people going to know that we're his disciples when we love each other? Now, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, please know that in the New Testament, we learn a lot about love. And Jesus teaches us a lot of things about love. And there's a lot of objects of our love. Obviously, as we've already learned, we're supposed to love God. We're supposed to love family. Love your parents. Love your mothers. And your fathers. Love your children. Love your siblings. Love your neighbors. In the New Testament, we're even told we're supposed to love our enemies. Notice here when Jesus gave this new commandment and said, this is how people are going to know you're my disciples. Do you notice who he's talking about loving here? Here he says, people are going to know you're my disciples because of the love you have for one another. What Jesus is highlighting is that in the kingdom of our Lord, there is supposed to be a relationship that we have with one another that folks on the outside look in and say, I want that. I want to be part of that. Disciples love one another. And we do it the way Jesus loved us. It's his new commandment. You know, that commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, that's actually from the law. Jesus said this is a new commandment. It's not love others. That's not a new commandment. The new commandment is love the way I loved you. Guys, how did Jesus love us? He went to the cross for us. how we are supposed to love one another. Going to the cross. Sacrificing. Serving. Loving like God. Jesus honored God. Learned from God. Loved like God. Disciples honor God. Learn from God. And love like God. And disciples lead others to God. A disciple leads others to God. Jesus, in John 17, as he is praying what some today refer to as his high priestly prayer, closes it this way. John 17, 26. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. Jesus, who once again, divine, God the Son, who could have, and maybe even in a sense should have, been directing everyone's attention to himself. He says all of his work is about what? Actually, leading them to the Father. It's all been about to the Father. He even says this of himself in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's his goal. That's his plan. He is leading to God. We find an example of this among the apostles. In fact, I don't know if you've noticed, once we got into the circle, every passage that we've looked at going around this circle has been in the gospel that John the Apostle wrote. And as we get to the end of that gospel account in John 20 and verse 30, here's what he says is the purpose of this. In verse 30, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. What was the entire purpose of writing this book that we're reading and studying from? He says, I have written this not so you know about me, not so you know that about me as the apostle. In fact, even in this book, he doesn't even name himself. He just calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so there are people today that even want to argue, is it John? Maybe it's somebody else. He is not attracting anyone to himself. What is he doing? He is pointing to Jesus. He is leading to Jesus. He is leading others to God. We need to recognize that. As disciples, we are supposed to make other disciples. Not disciples of ourselves, but disciples of Jesus. We're supposed to be leading people to Him. Leading people to God. Because that's what a disciple does. A disciple honors God. A disciple learns from God. A disciple loves like God. And a disciple leads others to God. And this gives us a pretty good picture of what a disciple is, but there is one other principle that I think we need to grasp that encircles all of this. We have God at the center, and wrapped around this entire picture of discipleship is the fact that a disciple does all of these things while abiding in God's Word. In John chapter 8 and verse 55, in John chapter 8 and verse 55, Jesus tells us about himself. In John chapter 8 and verse 55, he says, but you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. In this context, the opponents are accusing Jesus of having a demon, of being a Samaritan, of not knowing God. And Jesus says, in this crowd, let me tell you who doesn't know God. It's not me. He says, I know him. He says, here's how you know I know him. I keep his word. He says, it's you guys who are opposing me. You guys are the ones who don't know him because you don't keep his word. But I want us to recognize, what does Jesus do? All of the things that Jesus does, he does it keeping God's word. So just a few verses earlier, it does not surprise us that Jesus said in John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. How could we not have this as part of our picture of discipleship? If you abide in your own thinking, your own desires, your own pleasures, your own conveniences, he says, you're not my disciple. If you abide in someone else's word, if some man writes a book or some group of men come together and they write a book, and you let that govern you, he says, that's not being my disciple. How do we know when we are the disciples of Jesus? When everything we do is while abiding in his word. Living there, dwelling there, residing there, gaining our life from there. And so, it is only honoring God when we're honoring him the way his word says. It's not honoring God just because I think it honors God. It's honoring God because God says it honors him. We are only learning from God when we are learning from his word. We are only loving like God when we are loving the way he has defined in his word. And I will tell you, the world today is trying to co-opt the word love. Not everything the world defines as love is love. God defines love. And God's word defines love. And I am only loving when I love while abiding in God's word. And I lead others to God only when I'm leading people according to God's word. If as I am leading them, I am not sharing with them God's word, if I am not sharing with them what Jesus has said and revealed through his Holy Spirit and his apostles and prophets, if I am teaching something else, if I am leading them with something else in some other way, I am not making disciples, and I am not leading God's way. A disciple leads others to God while abiding. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, this is a disciple. And I will tell you as we begin, I struggled with what to name this series. Because I will admit, and we will see this even more as we dig into each one of these, to hear that this is what a disciple is, I'll be honest with you, it seems a little bit presumptuous for me to just go ahead and claim that's what I am. I thought about calling it, I want to be a disciple. Because there are so many of these things where I realize I fall short. And it is a growth process. But I went ahead and called it, I am a disciple. Because I do realize this, that being a disciple is a matter of grace. I'm not a disciple because I'm amazing at being a disciple. I'm a disciple because my master went to the cross and was resurrected on the third day and said, follow me. And I'm following him. I don't always follow as well as I should, and I don't always follow as well as I want. promised to spend the whole week talking about what we want it to be. I wanted us to remember, even though this is not what we are perfectly, this is what we are. We are disciples. Thank you so much for letting me be here with you this week. I pray that what we talk about will be beneficial to each and every one of us. And what we're going to do next, we're going to start walking around that circle. In the assembly, we're going to talk about honoring God. This afternoon, we're going to talk about learning from God. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about loving like God. Tuesday night, we're going to talk about leading others to God. And Wednesday night, we're going to talk about abiding in His Word. We're going to learn about being disciples. Thank you so much.